Welcome to the 21st edition of What Would You Do? NBA offseason edition. This team that we'll be discussing in this 21st edition is the Atlanta Hawks. But before we discuss the Atlanta Hawks, we have some stuff to shout out for you. And especially my great co-host Caleb Connett has done a lot of fantastic work. Caleb, where can the listeners of this podcast and this episode find your great work that you do?
Man, you can find me on Instagram at one Caleb Connett. You can find me on Twitter at Caleb Connett 2. Click the link tree in the bio. You can find other things too. Writing, change the narrative wristbands, change the narrative underscore on Instagram. Jules and Jim's podcast every Thursday. MCS World Sports Podcast. You know, we're everywhere. Tune in. How you doing today, Matt?
I am doing great as always. You can check out my stuff. My Twitter is at Matt underscore Skura. My Instagram is at Matt underscore Skura 19. And you can check out this a podcast. Like Caleb said, we're everywhere. You could check us out, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you could be listening on Spotify or iHeartRadio. We are available everywhere at your disposal. And we would also appreciate if you guys can leave a review and subscribe and listen to more of our episodes, you know, throughout your time with this very podcast. Caleb and I would very much appreciate that. And now that we've shouted out all the stuff that we do, let's get into the Atlanta Hawks, one of the busiest teams in the offseason. And they have made a lot of moves. And here are some moves that they made that have been very impactful for this Atlanta Hawks team. Their first big move was snagging Bogdan Bogdanović from the Sacramento Kings. Now, a lot of people thought, and I did too, a lot of people thought Bogdan Bogdanović was going to get traded to the Milwaukee Bucks in the offseason. It was a done deal. But the trade fell apart, and instead, the Atlanta Hawks swooped in, gave Bogdan Bogdanović a four-year $72 million deal to be a member of the Atlanta Hawks. Caleb, when you first saw Bogdan Bogdanović signing with the Atlanta Hawks, how big of a move is this for Atlanta this season?
I mean, I think it was a huge move for them. That just made their roster a lot deeper. I think a lot of people in the East are sleep on them just because they're a young team, but I think they have a really deep squad. With a lot of good players on it. I think they're going to be a team that surprises a lot of people this year, but I think he was a great addition to their team to be used either in the starter lineup or off the bench. You know, he could him and Trae Young make an amazing backcourt just off the ways they could score the ball off the screen and roll, shoot the deep ball. So they make a pretty exciting backcourt. And shit, I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, I truly 100% agree with you as well. I'm very excited to see what Bogdan Bogdanović and Trae Young can do. But I was shocked that Atlanta was able to swoop him up. I mean, when news first circulated out that he was traded to Milwaukee, it was a done deal. I thought it was a good move by Milwaukee. I thought that put them over the edge on potentially winning a championship this year. But when that trade fell through, I was kind of looking at it and say, oh, now that Bogdan Bogdanović is available, what now? You know, would our favorite team, the Lakers, swoop up and snag him up? You know, would a team with more cap space sign him up? Would the Knicks possibly throw money out at him? But when I saw Atlanta swoop up and sign him, I thought this was a great move by Atlanta. Even though they have Kevin Huerter there, as well as Daniil Hunt, And they have other pieces as well. I was shocked at first, but overall, I think it's a great signing by Atlanta. I think what that signing meant to me was this Atlanta Hawks team is trying to make the playoffs sooner rather than later. And on top of that, another free agent move that I want to highlight that I think was a huge win and a huge move for them was Danilo Gallinari. Caleb, when you saw Danilo Gallinari sign with the Atlanta Hawks, What are your thoughts on that move? Does that possibly impact, you know, John Collins? Because he's a potential free agent in the 2000 after this season. Do the Hawks maybe stick with Gallo instead of John Collins? Or do you think the Hawks just made this move? Just like, hey, we already have a solid starter in John Collins. Why don't we get a guy in Gallo who could be off the bench and just be phenomenal for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's they're simply going to lock Collins in. He's a great player. All he has to do is stay healthy and continue to do what he does. I think just adding Gallo makes them way deeper, and they're able to throw different matchups at teams on the court, you know, different lineups. In other words, they could go with a four who could shoot the three, and then you got another four who's really good at pick and roll. So that's going to be a lot for, you know, it's going to be a lot for bigs to handle when, you know, Trae Young's just running the pick and roll all day, and you got somebody who could either shoot the three, pick and roll. So they're going to be throwing a lot of different looks at different teams. So that's what I'm excited to see. But I definitely don't think it affects John Collins at all. How do you feel about this move?
I think it affects it slightly. The only thing I would say it affects slightly is they don't have to rely on John Collins in the offseason. They're not going to be in a situation like, oh man, we have to pay John Collins this amount of money. He's our best power forward that we got on the team. I think with this Danilo Gallinari signing, I think what this shows is that Atlanta's like, hey, you know, John Collins, we got an offer for you. If you're gonna want more than that offer, that's fine. We got our guy in Danilo Gallinari that can put up the same stats as you can do. That's what I thought about that move. I thought that move was and granted, it's a fantastic move right now because I mean you look at if John Collins gets hurt, you know, or if he underperforms, you saw how well Gallinari did in OKC, and we see what he's able to do. I think he's going to be a great solid piece, you know, coming off the bench. And he could also be a good mentor for John Collins as well. But I think, you know, that was a move to where Atlanta looks and says, hey, you know, we can improve our bench with Gallo. Or if John Collins decides he wants out of Atlanta and doesn't want to be there, then we have Gallinari who could perfectly fill in his place. So overall, I think it's a great signing by Atlanta. I think Atlanta had one of the better off seasons in the NBA. And another move that I want to highlight that I think was a huge move for Atlanta. It was a minor move, but I think it's huge for them, and especially in Trae Young's development. The Atlanta Hawks able to get Rajon Rondo, former point guard of the LA Lakers, part of the 2020 NBA championship Lakers. Caleb, when you saw Rajon Rondo take his talents to Atlanta, how huge of a signing is this for the Hawks, knowing that Rajon Rondo is very smart and has plenty of playoff experience?
I think that was their best signing out of all three that we've talked about. I think Rondo will turn out to be their best signing. I think Rondo will turn out to be the reason I talked to a lot of people about Atlanta, and they're not sold as high as I am. I think they are going to be in the playoffs like a top five seed. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just don't feel like a lot of people are sold on them. And I think Rondo was the best signing because he's not only one going to teach Trae how to be better in the pick and roll, but overall on the court, Trae already has good IQ. He already has, a jumper. He already has, you know, a good overall feel of the game. So he's only going to get better. And I think Rondo coming off the bench, he's going to be able to control, you know, Gallo, Hunter, Reddish. He's going to have young guys around him that are mad talented as well. And with the grand wizard that Rondo is, he's just gonna have great pieces to just teach and put in the right places. I think Rondo's gonna be really effective for them. How do you feel about this signing? And we are Lakers fans. Before I even give that to you, we are Lakers fans, and I did not want to see Rondo go from the Lakers. Although we got Schroeder, I'm glad we have Schroeder, but Rondo was one of the guys I would like to have with Schroeder still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. This was a huge signing, Atlanta Hawks. I mean, everybody knows, every NBA fan knows, there's Rajon Rondo regular season, and then there's playoff Rondo, where Rajon Rondo just, I don't know how he does it with how long of a career he's had. I believe this is what, going to be his 15th year in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he, last year he was in year 14 and he flipped the switch in the playoffs. Like, he was a difference maker in one of the NBA final games. What was it? Game six? It was either game five or game six where Rajon Rondo was a difference maker and helped the Lakers win the championship. Rajon Rondo to Atlanta. Rajon Rondo into Atlanta is such a huge impactful signing because he can help Trae Young develop in so many ways. Maybe not quite shooting because Trae Young's already a phenomenal shooter, but you're talking from an IQ perspective. Rajon Rondo knows a lot on how to distribute the ball well. And for Trae Young to be able to learn from a guy like Rajon Rondo, I think it's going to be huge in his development. I think it could be one of the reasons why he could potentially make another leap, you know, into, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his third year. You know, he can make a solid jump into year three. I mean, he already made a fantastic jump in year two. Now that you have Rajon Rondo on the roster, he can make an even bigger jump into year three. And I know this may be bold, but he could maybe etch his name in the MVP race if he can help develop well under Rajon Rondo. And I think the moves that Atlanta has made, I mean, I mentioned it, I believe, beforehand. I'll even mention it again. The moves that they have made, they've definitely put themselves in the conversation for making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. I mean, this is definitely going to be a hit or miss team. You know, Atlanta's going to be one of those teams where either their free agent signings of Gallo, Bogdanovic, Rondo are going to work, or they're just going to miss and everything's going to fall apart. You know, that, in my opinion, would be the only concern for Atlanta is if Rajon Rondo's age starts to show. And if somehow, some way Gallo and Bogdanovic just dip in stats, you know, that would be the only concern that I would have for the Atlanta Hawks. Caleb, if you were to have any concerns from their free agency moves, I'll even add on some other moves, Chris Dunn, Solomon Hill, and Tony Snell, what would be the biggest concern for the Atlanta Hawks if their free agent signings don't work? What could be the main factor reason why, you know, maybe the moves that they made in the offseason backfires?
Good question. I really don't know. I don't see it not working out, and if it doesn't work out, they could easily move on. I think for them, they just have to keep their composure and make sure they stick with their young core. Stick with Hunter. Stick with Cam Reddish. Stick with Herter. Stick with Onyeka. Stick with Trey. Stick with Bogdan too. Everybody else, if they happen to leave because it doesn't work, they happen to leave. I don't think it's a big deal, you know? I definitely don't think it's a big deal. And I think if it doesn't work, on to the next one. Just stay committed to the young core that they have because it is special for sure.
Yeah, you definitely make a lot of great points there. I think the only way how this doesn't work is if injuries happen. If injuries to their main signings like Bogdanovich or Gallinari or even Trae Young, I feel like if an injury happens with that team, I think it's going to be very hard for them to come back from, especially with how competitive the Eastern Conference is and will be. I think Atlanta is going to be one of those teams to where they're going to have to play a perfect season to make the playoffs. To where, what I mean by that is, their guys are going to have to stay healthy and they pretty much can't afford to have like a big losing streak. You know, some good teams, they can have a 5 or 6 game skid and still get in the playoffs, you know, as maybe instead of the number one seed, maybe like a two or three, but we know in our hearts that they're a number one seed. Atlanta's in a position to where if they lose five or six straight games, that might be enough for them to either fall into an eight seed or out of the playoffs. You know, they can't really afford to have like a bad stretch of basketball. They're going to pretty much have to play perfect basketball, maybe lose one or two straight games, but you know, that's about it. In my opinion, they're on a pretty thin ladder, just because, I mean, you mentioned some teams in the Eastern Conference. I can name you a couple that I have just before Atlanta, just because Atlanta is such a young roster. I mean, you look at, I think Milwaukee is ready, Brooklyn, Boston, Toronto, Miami, Philadelphia, Indiana, right there. That's seven teams. And then you, even at the number eight, I mean, Atlanta is one of those teams where they could either be right there or who knows, maybe they exceed expectations. I mean, we've seen some moves that teams make to where it may not look good or it may not impact on paper, but during the season, they just pop off and play well. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with Atlanta. But I must say, their free agency moves, if I were to give a grade for Atlanta Hawks free agency, I would give it an A. I love their moves. Caleb, if you were to give a grade for the Atlanta Hawks free agency players that they added during the offseason, what would you grade those moves?
A plus. I definitely loved what they did in free agency. I think they were the most aggressive out of any team. And it shows that they're committed to winning right now. They put a solid team around Trae Young, and I definitely believe in it. So I'm giving them A+ for their free agent moves this year.
I would agree with you as well. I give it A plus range. I think they did phenomenal in the offseason, free agency wise. Let's move on to the draft side of things. The Atlanta Hawks had themselves a very good draft. They had two draft picks, one in the first, one in the second. In the first round, with the sixth pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks selected Onyeka Okongwu, power forward out of USC. Caleb, you saw the Atlanta Hawks make this decision, drafting Onyeka Okongwu. Did they make the right decision? Or do you think they maybe should have gone after a guy like Danny Avdija or Obi Toppin?
Honestly, I like the Onyeka pick. Power forward, that position, pretty much John Collins, to be honest. I think the Onyeka Okongwu pick was perfect. They were needing a young center because if you just line up their young core, they got, you know, Trey, Herter, Hunter, Cam Reddish, Collins, and they kind of needed a center right there. And I think he was a perfect pick. Onyeka, shot blocker. He's everything, kind of like Clint Capella number two. So I think he was a perfect pick. I think they made an amazing choice with picking him. Obi Toppin, yeah, he might have been the best on the board, just not the right fit.
Definitely great points there. I thought it was an interesting pick. The reason why I think it was an interesting pick is they just made a move to get Clint Capella. And then now you're already selecting Onyeka Okongwu. Does that mean Atlanta doesn't trust Clint Capella to be their future center? Or are they potentially drafting Onyeka to be like, hey, you know, you're going to be coming off the bench for Clint Capella, but once Clint Capella hits free agency, you're going to be our guy. That's what I think that message sends to me. That message sends to me that Atlanta, they're going to roll with Capella for now, but Onyeka Okongwu is going to be their guy of the future. Clint Capella is not going to be future starting center for the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, he was fantastic in USC. I mean, you look at when he was a starter, he averaged 16 points, almost 9 rebounds, and almost two to three blocks a game. I mean, that's very impressive numbers. And, you know, I like the pick. You know, it's not like I don't like the pick. I just think it's interesting how they just made a move for Clint Capella not even a year ago, and then they draft almost a guy, like you mentioned, Caleb, has almost the same skill set as Clint Capela. So I just thought it was interesting from that standpoint. I think he's going to be an amazing talent. I think it'll be interesting how Atlanta will roll with him. Will they have him come off the bench? Or could he possibly start over Clint Capela? You know, that's going to be an interesting thing that we will have to see, you know, during the season, how the season progresses. Or even if Clint Capela gets hurt, you know, we could definitely see Oyeka Okongwu get some good starting minutes, you know, for Atlanta. But like you mentioned, Caleb, he is going to be the future starting center. He's their next young piece. And Atlanta's starting to build up a good core. You know, like you mentioned, Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, you know, they got Hunter, you got Cam Reddish, John Collins, and now Onyeka Okongwu. It's definitely going to be exciting to see what he's able to do with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be exciting. I hope that he doesn't get the Mo Bamba effect. You know how Mo Bamba kind of got put in that that position. Shout out to the last episode that we just talked about too, you know. We just talked about Orlando, the last episode that dropped a couple hours ago. Feel me? But, yeah, you know, hopefully he doesn't have to go through that. I'm excited to see the playing time he gets. Hopefully he get healthy. I didn't see him too much in the preseason. So hopefully he get healthy, and I'm excited to see what he brings to the team. I've been watching him since he was at Chino Hill, so I know he could fit perfectly well with Trae Young. It's going to be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how well he fits with Trae Young, you know, this season and in the near future. Let's talk about their next draft pick that they had. With the 50th pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks selected Skylar Mays, shooting guard out of LSU. Caleb, when you saw Atlanta in the second round select Skylar Mays with the 50th pick, do you think they made a good decision or a bad decision?
To be honest, I don't know who Tyler Mays is. To be honest, give me let me know.
Yeah, here's some background for Skylar Mays. He was a shooting guard, 6'4", 205, out of LSU. A lot of people are saying he's a well-polished guard with a well-rounded offensive game who scored efficiently in many roles at LSU. He averaged, in fact, almost 17 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. So those are some of the stats that he has. He's also a competitive defender with good timing. I mean, and he's tough at the point of attack. So those are just some of the stats that he brings to the table.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, he can get some time. I didn't know too much about him. Hopefully he can get some time and be a solid piece on the team. I don't see where he fits too much. So, I don't know. What did you think that pick was? Was it just to get the pick? What do you think about that pick, my boy?
I think it's a good pick. I think we could definitely see him as a potential backup shooting guard to Kevin Huerter. I think Skylar Mays is definitely a guy to where, you know, I mean, I saw him play a little bit at LSU. I mean, he's definitely a great talent. I mean, he's been to college ranks all 4 years. You know, he was a senior, so he definitely has that fully developed. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting with how he's going to get minutes. I mean, they got a lot of guys on that roster that are going to get minutes. Like, you got Trae Young, you got Rondo, you know they're going to get minutes. You got Kevin Huerter, you know you're going to give them minutes. You got Hunter, Cam Reddish, they're going to get minutes. You got John Collins, you got Gallo, you know they're going to get minutes. Even Bogdan Bogdanovich, he's going to get minutes. John Collins, Clint Capela, Nico Kongwu, you know they're going to get minutes. Is there enough minutes to go around for Skylar Mays? I don't know. I don't think there is. I think Skylar Mays is a guy to where maybe we'll see more of next season. You know, probably get more time next season when some contracts go off the books. Maybe whenever Rondo, maybe he might retire after this season. Maybe we'll see more Skylar Mays action then. But, you know, I think it's one of those to where you know, if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, you just have to see how he performs during preseason, how well he does then, and, you know, how he does in limited time. You know, maybe if it's a blowout game or if they're winning big, we might see Skylar Mays get some limited action. But for now, I wouldn't expect too much of things from Skylar Mays right now, just because of the fact that he was selected late in the second round, and it's going to be very hard for him to get minutes, especially with how good this Atlanta Hawks roster is right now. Yeah, I think if he were on a different team where they didn't really have a lot of other good talent, we could see more minutes from him. But because Atlanta has such a deep roster, I think it's going to be hard for Skylar Mays to get minutes, just for the fact that it's a deep roster. Nothing against his skill set. It's just sometimes when you have a deep roster, it's very hard to put minutes onto a certain player.
Exactly. You said it best. Right there. Sometimes there's too much minutes. It's hard to, you know, get him to another player. It'd be like that sometimes. But with time, you know, his opportunity will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Time will tell to see how well Skylar Mays will do with the Atlanta Hawks. And hey, who knows? Maybe if Atlanta wants to trade for a superstar, maybe Skylar Mays could be that trade piece that not a lot of people are going to discuss. Maybe they could say, hey, you know, we can give you Skylar Mays and another pick or so, and then you can maybe give us more of a veteran piece or another superstar to go along with our already up-and-coming roster. So Atlanta's got plenty of things that they can do. You know, it's definitely going to be an exciting season for Atlanta. And to close out, what would you do NBA offseason edition featuring the Atlanta Hawks? Let's discuss where they match up with this season. Caleb, can Atlanta make it to the NBA playoffs this season, or are they a year away?
To me, yes, they can. I think they're a top five team in the East to make it to the playoffs. I don't know how they're going to compete in the playoffs because it's going to be a first time thing for them. Although, you know, they do have veterans that have been in the playoffs before. They have some good experience on their side, so hopefully that could help them out. But I do think they will be in the playoffs. My prediction is they will be in the playoffs. I don't know what they do. Time will tell, but they will be in the playoffs.
I got to agree with you as well. Not as high, not like a top five seed like you mentioned, but I think Atlanta can make the playoffs in a 6 to 8 seed range. I think Atlanta has that capability. My personal opinion, I think if they – here's one thing I will say. If they want to go far in the playoffs, their young players have to play well, as well as their veterans. They're going to pretty much need to have a perfect series to make it far in the playoffs. But I think even if you're an Atlanta Hawk fan watching this, I think you'll be impressed with just even making the playoffs. I mean, it's been a couple years since Atlanta has made it to the playoffs. So I think if Atlanta makes the playoffs this year, I think it'll be huge for them, huge for their development, huge for the players' growth. And, you know, overall, I think Atlanta is going to be a very competitive team. You know, whoever's got to play them in the first round is not going to have an easy series. You know, if they got to go up against a Milwaukee or Brooklyn or Boston, don't be surprised if Atlanta pushes them to 6 or 7 games, because Atlanta is definitely going to be competitive. You know, Trae Young and company, they're definitely going to fight hard, you know, if they make the playoffs. You know, like I agree with Caleb, I believe Atlanta will be in the playoffs. Do I think they'll have a deep run in the playoffs? No, I don't think Atlanta will have a deep run in the playoffs, but I do believe that the Atlanta Hawks will make the playoffs and will definitely bring an exciting time for the city of Atlanta, because the city of Atlanta have been waiting for the Hawks to be playoff contenders for a while. It's been a couple of years since we've seen Atlanta as a team that's been competitive, probably since the Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague, Al Horford era, way back when in Atlanta. So it'll be exciting to see what they can do. They got a lot of high expectations, especially with that Bogdan Bogdanovic move that we mentioned earlier, as well as Neil Gallinari. So we'll see if Atlanta can live up to the hype. Will they live up to the hype, or will they disappoint? That will be the main question that the Atlanta Hawks will have to figure out and play for during this upcoming season. And that, my friends, will conclude the 21st edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Atlanta Hawks. This is Matt Skura, my great friend Caleb Connett. We are signing off.